All right, so there is a war, and I think, you know, today's shooting maybe is some indication of this invisible war that is around us. You know, the war you can't see, but you definitely feel, you know, something is amiss. The Bible speaks about this. Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. Satan, the father of lies, is waging a, some call it a stealth campaign in our culture, but sometimes it just rears its ugly head right above the surface for all to see. But it can seep into our hearts as well. Are we defenseless in this? Are we left alone as we're in this battle? No, we are not. If we are in Christ, we have a tremendous power source, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there's something called spiritual armor as well. There is a wonderful book coming out. You know his name, the pastor and author Michael Youssef. He lays out a battle plan for victory in his new book, Winning the Invisible War. So we're going to talk about how you can stand firm. You can recognize the enemy's schemes. There are lots of them. And you could be victorious in Christ Jesus right now. At this moment, Dr. Michael Youssef joins me on the program, Tom Jordan Show. So nice to have you. It's an honor, sir. Thank you for your time. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you having me. What a day to talk about the invisible war. When we, like you, I'm shaken because he was very close friend. He is very close friend to Jack Hibbs, mm-hmm. partners in ministry, and I'm just. It's sort of really shocked us and. And we're having our whole prayer meeting tonight dedicated to pray for him and his family. It's just, I can't describe, I tweeted out, and that's exactly what I said in addition to praying for him. But pray for that this is a spiritual war, that our war is not with flesh and blood. It's with principalities and powers. And the devil has been around for a long time, and he knows exactly how to attack and when to attack and all of this stuff, that this alliance between the leftist, the socialist, and Islamist, I mean, this just it's happening all over the world now. And we're going to see more of that, sadly. It breaks my heart to say it. But as God's people need to be mobilized to start doing some spiritual warfare and praying in the spirit.
Yeah, I'm glad you're having a prayer meeting because this is what we need. We need more prayer despite the political call to end the prayers and all that. No, we need to pray more. We're going to do the same thing at our church. We have a pastor at Calvary Chapel in north of Detroit here in Waterford. We're going to pray tonight as well, starting at 7 o'clock. And I think all churches around the country should be doing this because there is a...
Wednesday. Yeah, our Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, 6:15, we go for an hour. It's our hour of power, really. And so we are going to be spending this whole evening prayer time praying for Charlie and his family.
I look at these things today, and to me, it's just, okay, the kind of hatred and then the lies about the hatred, you know, calling the other side, the person that you hate so much, you're saying you hate them because you think they're hateful, so you're hating them more than they hate. I don't know what they're trying to figure out here. But, you know, when you break it down, I think this is what you're doing in your book here. Is that there's a lot of what appear to be attractive philosophies out there. That's what the lies are cloaked with. You know, they're beautiful looking. They seem compassionate. But, you know, you look at the culture nowadays, love is love. But these people who say love is love are filled with rage and hatred and anger. What are some of the cultural lies that you see yourself, Dr. Michael Youssef, that are deceiving people today?
Well, where do I start? I mean, you go with the obvious ones where basically a woman has a choice to kill her baby and the doctor, you know, can kill a baby even after the birth. And you go all the way to our sexuality and the way we express our sexuality doesn't matter to God. God doesn't care about how we live. And I used to be part of the mainline denomination, and it was really a war for a long, long time until in 92. I just shook the dust off of my feet because it was just this kind of thing going on all the time. And I said to them one time at one of the conventions, I said, you know, in the old days we used to say a wolf in sheep's clothing. I said, part of the good news is that now the wolves have taken their clothing off. Mm-hmm. And we now see them, that they're not sheep at all. They are wolves, and it's out in the open. It's no longer hidden anymore. And anybody who cannot see this truly is spiritually blind. I mean, so many of us, and in fact, the Apostle Paul, he exhorts us, and he said, of his devices we are not ignorant. And Paul was aware of all the devices and the lies, and particularly with the Judaizers and all the other groups that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
And so of his devices now, I think even the average Christian can say with Paul, yes, we are now see it. I mean,
yeah.
it is so glaring, and the attack on churches. I mean, this whole massive movement, and I don't want to exaggerate, but, you know, the deconstruction of giving up the faith, modifying the faith, open theism, and hyper grace, and I'm talking even the deception in the church. I'm not talking about the outside world.
Correct.
Which is very clear. But these are attacks on the church itself, and these are heresies taught in churches, and people just nod their heads, you know, prosperity gospel, and you just keep going. You know, there was a preacher by the name of Vance Havner many years ago. You might have heard the name. In fact, you can still get his sermons. It was very, he was blunt, but he was a straightforward guy. He said, you know, in the past, Satan used to fight churches. Now he doesn't. He joins them.
It's sad. And here's what maybe you can help me understand. We're speaking with Dr. Michael Youssef, of course, the founder, the president of Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. He's the founding rector and senior pastor at Church of the Apostles of Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, beautiful city, beautiful area of the country. And but here's the thing. You're also a doctor of philosophy in cultural anthropology. And I want to appeal to that for a moment here, because here's what I have a hard time comprehending, and this is why I just ascribe it right away to a spiritual warfare and blindness that's happening, because every time it seems that there's some realm of violence from an extremist, a far leftist, something that to me is blatantly demonic or satanic, it seems the world seems to warm up to those same individuals. We saw this after 9/11, this brutal attack on innocent civilians by Islamist jihadists.
Yep.
And suddenly Islam became more and more accepted and welcomed in this country, the country that was attacked by the extreme element of that. We see that with these, I've seen it with the LGBTQ community when they come out and they launch these attacks on people, and suddenly they're more supported because we have to stop, put down our Bibles and understand them. And the church has been deceived, I think, by this. You know, your anthropological studies and whatnot, what do you think is causing people, even within the church, to now welcome this blatant evil across this country?
Well, because they guilt us, really, they guilt us into accepting what is not acceptable. Whether it would be in the homosexual community when they start talking about the homophobe, and goodness, who wants to be called that?
Right.
And the Islamists and the jihadis, they learned from them, and they came up with this Islamophobe. You're Islamophobe. And I would say, yeah, so what? you know, I've experienced that, of course, firsthand growing up in the Middle East.
Correct.
And I had some very prominent Muslim country leader looked at me one time, and he said, we outlawed Muslim Brotherhood in our country. How in the world, in Europe and in England and America, you are acknowledging them? I mean, in New York, got attacked. Exactly tomorrow will be the anniversary, September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting ready to vote for a jihadi to be a mayor of New York.
Correct. It's amazing to me, you know. And listen, I know you. I want you, people to understand that you grew up in Egypt. A dear friend of mine grew up in Egypt as well. He converted to Christianity from Islam. He was tortured by his own family, by the state. They threw him in prison simply because he became a follower of Jesus Christ. They wanted him dead. And I think it's a similar story to kind of what you went through as well. That kind of persecution towards Christianity. It is real, is it not?
Oh, there's no question about it, and particularly in some countries, more than others. I thankfully grew up in an ethnically Christian family where we go 2,000 years of Christianity. The Coptic community in Egypt, 15 million, have survived 1,400 years of severe persecution. You can go to the mountains and you see all the monasteries that they dug into the mountains and in order to escape, and they survived. And the only reason the church in Egypt survived is because they held on to the truth, and they said, we will not compromise, and when they kill us, kill us. And so in North Africa, like Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, Algiers, all those countries, they had thousands and thousands of churches. But because the people believe that the canon is not closed, the Christians there, and that God can still speak authoritarian with the same authority as the apostles, well, when the Arabs came invading, they said, oh, well, let's hear what you have to say. And within 30 to 40 years, all these thousands of churches were converted into mosques. It's the same trick. You see, the devil uses something like this, like September 11, or whatever it is, in order to make us feel guilty for taking a stand and saying no. And he twists around, because that is, he's got a twisted mind.
Yeah, you know, when I worked in our newsroom, this is probably back in 2009-ish time frame out in San Diego, television station out there, and me and a fellow colleague, a reporter, were talking about 9/11. And yep. His strong belief was that we deserved it as Americans, as white people.
Wow.
We absolutely deserve to be attacked by these jihadists because of who we are. And it doesn't matter if we're innocent civilians. And that message was permeating newsrooms throughout the country way back then. It took a few years, but the ideology began to seep in. You warn in your book about both the external assaults from spiritual warfare and the internal battles that we as Christians have to contend with. Which one do you think Christians underestimate the most?
The internal battle. Because when you see evil outside, well, at least you can see it. But the one inside that is so insidious, when somebody sounds so sanctimonious and he comes in, or a pastor who brings in a pastor of a large church in the South, a Baptist church. He got up and said, look, and they left the Baptist convention. I don't know what truth is, but I know what love is. And my goodness, people just fell for it, line, hook, and sinker. And before you know it, they are basically welcoming not just into membership, practicing homosexuals, but even into leadership. And we're seeing that over and over and over and over again. It's an inside job. And that is far more dangerous, at least from my personal experience, than those who are outside.
Yeah, I agree with you. Inside the church, I've seen it happen myself, and it's been stunning to watch the transition from conservative, literal take on Scripture to kind of being wishy-washy about it. In fact, even saying some churches that used to be conservative say, let's put down the Scriptures and let's just listen to their perspective and become an ally of them without inundating them with the Word of God, that kind of thing. Michael Youssef is my guest. The book is Winning the Invisible War. It is a confrontation of one of the greatest realities of the Christian life. More with Dr. Michael Youssef coming up next on The Tom Jordan Show. It's the Tom Jordan Show, and I am desperately grieved to report to you that Charlie Kirk has passed away. Charlie Kirk was killed today after he was shot at an event this afternoon at Utah Valley University. President Trump has confirmed this. There's multiple sources now confirming his passing. To multiple news outlets, it is horrific what is happening. And listen, when I saw the video this afternoon, I thought, oh, Lord, please let this man survive this. Yeah. And he has not. He has died. Charlie Kirk dead at the age of 31. It grieves me to bring this to you. I'm desperately sad about it. And Dr. Michael Youssef, I know that you're grieved as well. It sounds like you knew him. I know that
I cannot. What a tragedy.
Yes, it is. It's
a young man in his prime, and he's just been making a difference on campuses. And he's never been aggressive. I mean, he's very forceful. He will state the truth. He will debate. but he was always respectful for people. I mean, it's just, I can't. Anyway, I'm just sorry, I'm stammering for the first time. I think I'm speechless. It's a tragedy that's happening in our country, and they attempted on the President Trump, and, you know, not once but twice, and they just go for these soft targets, and
yes.
We just have to call upon heaven to uphold Charlie's family.
It's horrific, and I understand why. I mean, I'm shocked to learn this right now, even though I kind of had an inkling based on what was put out there earlier and the graphic nature of the injury that he may not pull through, but sure enough, that has been the case. And I think about what we're talking about today. We're talking about spiritual warfare and how the enemy hates us. The devil hates people. And I think what he does is he co-opts politics, he co-opts education, he co-opts even, as you said, the church, in order to switch sides and to use them and to switch the definitions of words like love and words like compassion, and somehow sneaky enough to turn those things into rage and anger and classify it somehow as righteous anger. Like they're believing, just like the Pharisees did, Dr. Youssef, when they said they thought that what they were doing was the will of God by putting to death the Messiah. They were deceived.
And Jesus said that. He said they're going to actually think they're doing God a favor by persecuting you.
Yes.
And they think they're pleasing God. And what kind of a God that they worship? And it's just beyond tragic as we're seeing these things that are happening and more and more and more and more. And unfortunately, the lying, you see, this is one of the characteristics of the devil. It's very clear. He's the father of lies. And you see people literally look in the camera and tell bald-faced lies. And you can say, oh, they belong to their father, the devil. And they lie about everything. They literally twist the truth before our own eyes. Even if we can see it, no, you're not seeing it right. We're seeing it better for you. And even in Islam, particularly among the jihadis, they have something actually in the religion called taqiyya. And taqiyya in militant Islam is basically that you can lie to your opponent, to the infidels. And that is a virtue. When you're in a weak position, you lie. And so, you know, the characteristics of our God is that he is the truth. And the opposite is Satan. And you can see the lies that he spreads around, the blindness that he is now. You know, sometimes I just wonder if we're not really truthfully living in the last days, and that we are now seeing this preparation for the coming of the Antichrist.
Yeah, you know,
the whole world is being, you know, basically beaten up into pulp. That they just be happy to get anybody to deliver them, and certainly a deceiver like the Antichrist. Yeah.
Early 2020, I had another pastor, a friend of mine, who said, based on what was happening and the deceit that was starting to, you know, sweep our country and our world globally. He said to me, well, you can see how the Antichrist can deceive the whole world, can't you? And I thought, yeah, that's true. And this was about maybe March or April 2020, early on in the pandemic. And then sure enough, shortly after that, I thought maybe we are in the last days, because this is a global deceit that is occurring. And you emphasize in your book the importance of recognizing seductive philosophies. And I think that's what has happened to the vast majority, I would say the globe, of the 8.2 billion people on this planet. Maybe 6.3 billion of them are seduced into a philosophy that is flat out a lie. Can you give a few of these modern examples that sound appealing to us, but they are really spiritually destructive?
Yeah, I mean, the destruction of the family, which, of course, Satan's number one target, because he wants to destroy the family. And the way they twist this, for example, I'll give you one example. And look, I'm an African, so I'm from Africa. Mm-hmm. I'm a son of Africa. This Black Lives Matter. I mean, who in the world would say that Black Lives do not matter? I mean, there's can only some demonic force that would say that. So we all agree. Absolutely, yes. You go on the website, destruction of the family. That's the first thing on their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm giving you an example of how a word like this can be twisted and turned, and everybody will have to agree with, because they don't want to be accused of being, you know, they don't think Black Lives Matter. So the word, they skew the words, and the way they turn them around, the way they twisted them in such a way that be so appealing and so good and so right, but they're so wrong and so evil.
You know, you're right about that. I think of organizations. There's an organization called BioLogos. They're based here in Michigan, and they sound great. They say, you know, their website opens up with God's word, God's world. But what they're teaching here is that God did not create the world. He used evolution to do it. And then when it came to the issue of Black Lives Matter, they were all in on that. When somebody approached them to tell them that, listen, actually Black Lives Matters, they want to dissolve the nuclear family, and these are the things they stand for, that person was essentially excommunicated from the organization. Like, we will never talk to you again because we support Black Lives Matter. That's the deceit. That's how easy it is to get in, because you think, based on these redefinitions of terms, they mean something different than what you recognize them to mean.
Exactly.
And we're being swept into this, I think, demonic area and these wrong philosophies of life.
I mean, think of how many church-going women were following Oprah Winfrey, okay? Mm-hmm. I remember one time I put on the screen where she said, religion is a feeling, not believing.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, one of the audience said, what about Jesus? She defiantly looked at her and said, what about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
They can possibly know only one way.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on the screen. And a dear lady, I mean, it's the last one you can think about. When she's an Oprah fan. She came to me and she said, you know, I love you and you're my pastor. But, you know, if I didn't see that on the video myself, I don't know what I would have believed you. I said, my God, have mercy.
Correct.
That this is basically what is happening. That it's so deceiving, so deceptive, so feel good. And makes me feel good. And it doesn't matter whether it's truth or not.
Yeah, my mother got swept up in that as well, and I remember that episode where Oprah Winfrey absolutely denied the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Dr. Michael Youssef, I don't often ask my guests to do this, but I greatly respect you. I know you're a man of God, you're a faithful follower of Jesus, and based on what's happened today and the deceit in our country, would you mind praying for our listeners, our audience, and for our country?
I will. I hope you and they forgive me if I'm choked up.
Yes.
Our Father, there are no words to express our sorrow for what happened to a dear brother in Christ, Charlie Kirk. And Lord, the world will look around and say, evil has succeeded. Even some Christians will say, evil is succeeding. But Lord, we know that evil cannot succeed, that you are the truth, you are the life, you're the way, you're the only way. And I pray right now, first of all, for that balm of Gilead, for that peace, for the paraclete to come into the Kirk family and minister in a way to that family, Lord, in a very unique yours, and only you can do it. Fill that incredible empty void. And Father, I pray for all his friends and colleagues and for all the people who have worked with him. And Lord, we pray for your church. We shouldn't be surprised that we are under attack, and we will be under attack. And the more we take a stand, the more we were going to be clobbered. But Father, give us the strength, give us the confidence to know and believe that we are on the winning side, and that he who is in us is greater than he is on the world. And even the evil may appear to be winning, but we know that you already won the battle. You already won it on the cross. And these skirmishes too shall pass when you come back and take your church to heavenly glory, where we'll be with you forever. I thank you for my brother. I pray that you'll bless all the audience who are listening to us. I pray that you minister to them and that you encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Michael Youssef, I can't thank you enough for your compassion. And we just happen to align today on this strange day in history here in this country. I appreciate your compassion and your wisdom, your insight and discernment. The book is Winning the Invisible War. We are in the midst of a Spiritual Battle. His previous book is another one that was just out earlier this year, God's Final Call, Unpacking Jesus' Last Message to His Church. Such important words. Dr. Michael Youssef, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, my friend.